Hare Krishna. So we're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter 17. We're going to chant verse number 23 together, but I'm going to go back a few verses. We're going to take it from verse number 18, which also has a purport. I know that Rupa Vilas Prabhu was unable to come and give class last time, so I'll just touch upon this also as we go through the series of verses. Okay, so I'm going to just read the verses up until verse 23, just the English translation. Nishkinshna Krishna Prabhu, is that okay? Just the translations up until 23. Okay, so this is verse number 18. Sorry, this chapter is entitled Pastimes of the Lord in His Youth. So text number 18. After this incident, the Lord remained in an ecstatic position for 21 hours, and all the devotees saw His specific pastimes. Excuse me. Just to clarify, so this incident is the previous verse. So Mother Sachi saw the brothers Krishna and Balaram in their manifestation of Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda. Then the Lord delivered the two brothers, Jagai and Madai. So that's the incident. Okay, purport to this verse. In the deity's room, there must be a bed for the deity behind the deity's throne. This system should immediately be introduced in all our centers. It does not matter whether the bed is big or small. It should be of a size the deity room can conveniently accommodate. But there must be at least a small bed. One day in the house of Srivas Thakur, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat down on the bed of Vishnu, and all the devotees worshipped him with the Vedic mantras of the Purusha Shukta, beginning with Sahasrashirsha, Purusha, Sahasrakshaha, Sahasrapat. This Veda Stuti should also be introduced, if possible, the installations of deities. While bathing the deity, all the priests and devotees must chant this Purusha Shukta and offer the appropriate paraphernalia for worshipping the deity, such as flowers and fruits, incense, artrika, paraphernalia, nivedya, vastra, and ornaments. All the devotees worshipped Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this way, and the Lord remained in ecstasy for 7 praharas, or 21 hours. He took this opportunity to show the devotees that He is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, who is the source of all other incarnations, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Ahamsa Vasya Prabhavo, Matasavam Pravatate. All the different forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or Vishnu Tattva, emanate from the body of Lord Krishna. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exposed all the private desires of the devotees, and thus all of them became fully confident that Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Some devotees call this exhibition of ecstasy by the Lord Sata Prahariya Bhava, or the ecstasy of 21 hours, and others call it Mahabhav Prakash or Mahaprakash. There are other descriptions of the Sata Prahariya Bhava in the Chaitanya Bhagavat chapter 9, which mentions that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu blessed a maidservant named Duki with the name Suki. He called for Sridhar, whose name was Kolavecha Sridhar, and showed him his Mahaprakash. Then he called for Murari Gupta and showed him his feature as Lord Ramachandra. He offered his blessings to Haridas Thakur, and at this time he also asked Advaita Prabhu to explain Bhagavad Gita as it is, Gitara Satya Pata, and showed special favor to Mukunda. Okay. So text number 19. One day Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt the ecstasy of a boar of the boar incarnation and got up on the shoulders of Murari Gupta. Thus they both danced in Murari Gupta's courtyard. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. One day Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to cry out, Sukara, Sukara, thus crying out for the boy incarnation of the Lord. He assumed his form as the boy incarnation and got up on the shoulders of Murari Gupta. He carried a small gadu, a small water pot with a nozzle, and thus he symbolically picked up the earth from the depths of the ocean. For this is the pastime of Lord Varaha. Text number 20. After this incident, the Lord ate raw rice given by Suklambara, Brahmachari, and explained very elaborately the import of the Harinama Shloka mentioned in the Brihad Naradiya Purana. Purport. Suklambara Brahmachari resided in Navadvip on the bank of the Ganges. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing in ecstasy, he approached the Lord with a begging bag containing rice. The Lord was so pleased with his devotee that immediately he snatched the bag and began to eat the raw rice. No one forbade him, and thus he finished the entire supply of rice. Text number 21. In this age of Kali, there is no other means for self-realization than chanting the holy name of Lord Hari. Text number 22. In this age of Kali, the holy name of the Lord, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, is the incarnation of Lord Krishna. Simply by chanting the holy name, one associates with the Lord directly. Anyone who does this is certainly delivered. Okay. So, text number 23, translation in purport. This verse repeats the word Eva certainly 3 times for emphasis. And it also 3 times repeats Harinama, the holy name of the Lord, just to make common people understand. Purport. To emphasize something to an ordinary person, one may repeat it 3 times. Just as one might say, you must do this, you must do this, you must do this. Thus, the Brihan Naradiya Purana repeatedly emphasizes the chanting of the holy name so that people may take it seriously and thus free themselves from the clutches of Maya. It is our practical experience in the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world that many millions of people are factually coming to the spiritual stage of life simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra regularly, according to the prescribed principles. Therefore, our request to all our students is that they daily chant at least 16 rounds of this Harinama Maha Mantra offenselessly, following the regulative principles. Thus, their success will be assured without doubt. Magyana Tamarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuva Militamina Tasmai Shri Guru Venamaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutali Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sahagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tvam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Virjana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagna Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha kapaturubhyascha kripansundubhyevacha Patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So for the sake of giving emphasis, we have this verse in purple. Text number 23, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, chapter 17. This verse repeats the word Ava certainly 3 times for emphasis, and it also 3 times repeats Harinama, the holy name of the Lord, just to make common people understand. Okay. So, in previous ages, there's different Yuga Dharmas, different approaches. So we hear about this in the Sattva Yuga. There is meditation on the Lord. And then you have Treta Yuga. And what do they do in Treta Yuga? Sorry? Sacrifices. Yeah. Yeah. They do sacrifices. Then in Dwapara Yuga, then they do the deity worship. Then in Kali Yuga, so he said that what has been achieved, or what was able to be achieved in previous ages through their respective Yuga Dharmas, in this age, that same thing can be achieved by the chanting of the holy names. But there is more to it than that. In Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Krishna Samhita, he says that what would happen is that the compilers of the Shastra in previous ages, they would evaluate the psychology or the level of advancement of the people of that age. And based upon the level of advancement of the people of that age, they would emphasize what is called Ataraka Brahma Nam, right? A certain mantra that would help those people to be delivered in that particular age. Furthermore, for each of these Taraka Brahma Nams, they would also help people to come to a certain level of, they would have a certain mellow, a certain mood, and therefore would allow people to realize a certain rasa in relationship to the Lord. Okay? And for each age, those different Taraka Brahma Nams would therefore elicit a certain level of relationship. So we want to just begin there by giving some of the outline. So, in Sattva Yuga, the Taraka Brahma Nam expresses feelings of opulence and awe for Narayan. So therefore, that would correlate with a mood of Shantaras, but also a little Dasyaras as well. Okay. In Treta Yuga, the Taraka Brahma Nam would invoke the Lord's prowess and also denote a certain mood of friendship. Okay, so it was full Dasya and also a reflection of Sakyaras, but the mood of awe and veneration was still prevalent. Then we came to Dwapara Yuga. Okay. And so the names or the Taraka Brahma Nam at the Dwapara Yuga had the dominance of Shantaras, Dasya, Sakyaras and Vatsalya Ras as well. Okay, so those 4 rasas were there. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains the Maha Mantra in this regard. So the Maha Mantra, the 16 syllable Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in this age is the Taraka Brahma Nam, okay? But it's very specific. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki, Jai Shri Shri Sitram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shishi Gaunitai Guru Parampara Srila Prabhupada Tulsi Maharani ki jai. And then he goes on to explain the Maha Mantra. Then he goes on to explain the mantra that we've been given at this age. And he says, this name reveals indescribable attraction for Krishna purely by the thread of love. And he said, therefore, it offers all rasas up to and including Madhurya Ras. So when you think about this, something very, very interesting can be understood. As the ages progress and as people become less and less qualified. I repeat that. As the ages progress from sattva all the way down to where we are, this is the bargain basement of the yugas, okay? As it comes all the way down, and as people become less qualified, the Supreme Lord is also becoming more what? More compassionate. What was actually, see, try and understand this. There's, on the one hand, what was achieved in, we could say in the broad sense, what was achieved in previous yugas by the yuga dharma of that age, we say, meaning that you can go back to the spiritual world, attain love of God. We say what was achieved in previous yugas, the yuga dharmas of those ages can be achieved by the same yuga dharma, by the yuga dharma of this age, which is a chanting. But if you go, if you boil it down to the fine detail, this age elicits something extremely unique and special. In fact, this isn't even just a standard Kali Yuga. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not appear in every Kali Yuga. So he has appeared in this Kali Yuga. And what is being given in this name is the most exalted. You can understand that the majority of us don't understand what we've been given. Okay? And you can understand that by how it's utilized. So it is like a child being given, you know, a diamond. The child, until the child matures, they have absolutely no clue what is in their hands. And you notice that they've got no clue what's in their hands by the way that they deal with it. Okay? We have so much Shastra that talks about the holy name. But you can understand that no one really gets what's being given to them by the way that we deal with it. So, in the commentary of the previous Acharyas, as they analyze the Shikshashtakam, they explain that the first verse relates to the seven opulences of the holy name. And that is meant to invoke faith, Shraddha. Because unless you understand what you have in your hands, you're not going to take care of it. Huh? So, it is also very interesting how our philosophy works. So you have this sambandha, knowledge. Our philosophy actually makes everyone who engages in this philosophy more intelligent. And it does so in a very specific way. Everything has a sambandha, right? Everything has its own field of understanding. And within that field of understanding, some things are highlighted. Okay, so if you want to, you want to start your car, okay? Therefore, the things which are important to know in the endeavor to start your car are these five elements. Those five elements constitute your field of sambandha. It's not that everything is important. The color of your car does not matter in the endeavor to start your car. You get it? Right? Technically speaking, it doesn't matter how clean the wheels are. That has absolutely nothing to do with the act of starting your car. There are certain factors in the sambandha when it comes to the act of starting your car. However, even those five elements which are important, they are not all equally important. Okay? So when you look at anything that you want to do, there are certain things which are important, but there's also a hierarchy. there's also an order of ranking. Some of those things are more important than others. Okay, it is very interesting that we have, even within our Shastra, we have this Paribas Sutra. Ete chamsa kalalpumsa krishnastu bhagavan swayam. Why? Because it is called the Paribas Sutra, means the emperor verse. That verse dominates every other instruction in our Shastra. And everything else in our Shastra is seen within the hierarchy with that verse as being the most prominent. Okay? So you can understand the ranking of everything else because all the other verses are subordinate to that one verse. And then you have the Maha Mantra. Then you have the Maha Mantra. All other practices are subordinate to the practice of the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Everything else is subordinate. Thus, it is emphasized in this very, very prominent way. Harinama, Harinama, Harinama eva kevalam, kalo nastieva, nastieva, nastieva gatiyanyata. There is no other way. Now, you can take this further. That Maha Mantra actually, you can consider the Maha Mantra is Sambandha, is Abhideya, and is Prayojana. What does Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say? Vidya vadu jivanam. It is the life of all. The life of what? Of all transcendental knowledge. It is the life of all transcendental knowledge. Technically speaking, if someone is able to chant this name purely enough, Krishna can reveal to you everything that's in the scripture and many, many other things besides. Be under no illusion. The knowledge of Krishna consciousness is unlimited. Vidya vadu jivanam. The life of all transcendental knowledge. And actually the conclusion of all knowledge. Vedeschasave aham eva vedyo vedantakrit vedavit eva chaham. The actual goal of all the knowledge is to come to the point of understanding Krishna. And that understanding of Krishna, as is explained in the Shastra, that understanding of Krishna can only be attained in the Kali Yuga. It can only be attained by us by chanting the names of Krishna. Everything is perfectly in alignment. At the same time, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is Abhideya because it's a practice. Okay? We will come to questions a bit later on. It is a practice. It is actually the supreme practice. The chanting of the holy names of the Lord. And therefore, it gives that supreme liberation. And liberation in this sense doesn't just mean being free of the material energy. What we mean by liberation in the supreme sense is that you will go back to the supreme personality of Godhead. At the same time, it is the prayojana. It is the goal. The goal is to call the names of the Lord Shuddhana. The names of the Lord in pure love of God. So it has a very, very unique position beyond anything and everything else. Now that seems actually in one sense contradictory to another thing that we hear in the Shastra. Because we do hear in the Shastra, in fact specifically, we hear Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself tell Sanatana Goswami that any one of these nine processes of love of devotion can do what? They can awaken love. You understand that point? So, interestingly enough, and Lord Chaitanya has come in the Kali Yuga. So you can't then say, well, he meant that in previous ages. No, he says it in the Kali Yuga to Sanatana Goswami. He says any one of these nine processes can awaken love of Godhead. So it seems, but you said, but we understand that the Shastra says it's only the holy name. And at the same time, the Lord himself is saying any one of these nine processes can elicit love of Godhead. So Jiva Goswami reconciles the difference. He says any one of these nine, but they have to be done in collaboration with the chanting of the holy names of Krishna in order for the full result to manifest. In order for the full result to manifest. Okay, poetic. But the reason why that is the case is given in this previous verse. This verse 22. In this age of Kali, the holy name of the Lord, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, is the incarnation of Lord Krishna. Simply by chanting the holy name, one associates with the Lord directly. Get that point? By chanting, one associates with Krishna directly. Anyone who does this is certainly delivered. So, you are who you associate with. It really is that simple. You are who you associate with. Because that person's presence actually rubs off on the living entity. So what Prabhupada has done in giving this prescription of 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra every day, he has forged a practice which is to guarantee that every single day you are associating with Krishna. And Krishna's association is so powerful, it will override any negative effects of the association with the material energy, which is also predominant in this Kali Yuga age. By default, you are associating with Maya. Got it? It's not an optional thing. If you're in the Kali Yuga, if you're living a normal life, you are 24 hours a day associating with the material energy. By default. So now there is a practice that can shift that downstream, that force, that negative pulling force. Because in Kali Yuga there's no neutrality. Normal means you're going down. Okay? So then there is this practice that says that everything is going downstream, but even against the current you can go up. Okay? Even against the current you can go up. And because that name is none different from the Lord, it is so powerful that it can counteract the entire downward effect of the age of Kali. It is so powerful that one practice can counteract everything. But of course, there is also the fine print, the small print. And that small print relates to how we chant. In this purport, Prabhupada ends it. Therefore, our request to all our students is that they daily chant at least 16 rounds of this Harinama Maha Mantra offenselessly. Did you catch that? To get your foot in the door, we say chant. Okay? Lord Chaitanya says chant, the holy names of the Lord. Right? He goes on, anyone who chants, right? Even just chanting this name once, one can be delivered. But there is also a fine print. And as you get into it, the fine print is that he expects that chanting to be done with increasing quality, superior quality. Specifically, it is meant to be done offensively. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that your position as a Vaishnava is determined by your position in your chanting. He says, those who chant Namabhas, they are Vaishnavabhas. He says, only one who chants Shuddhanam, they are actually a devotee. So we may have a very, very long way to go. What is this chanting? To chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra offenselessly. Prabhupada has given this statement. He says you should chant just like a child crying out for who? For their mother. Now if you dig into that, what you will find is that our founder Acharya, in giving this statement, he has given a statement that perfectly captures all of the essential elements of the third verse of Shikshashikam. Perfectly. There is a very interesting crossroads, an internal dynamic that every devotee goes through as we practice and progress in chanting the holy names of the Lord. And interestingly enough, that same dynamic is meant to suffuse and infuse every single aspect of your approach to spiritual life, which ultimately means to suffuse every single aspect of life. What happens within the psychology of a practicing devotee from the beginning through to the end of spiritual life is as follows. in the beginning stages of life, we have the God in philosophy, and we also have the God in reality. This God in reality is the unfortunate part of the equation. Let me explain what I mean. So, in terms of philosophy, we hear that who is God? Who is God? Krishna, right? Our philosophy, the God of philosophy, yes, I've read in Bhagavad Gita, Ahamsa Vasya Prabhu, Mata Savam Pravatate Iti Madhva Bhajante Mam, Buddha Bhava Samanvataha. The God of philosophy is Krishna. But unfortunately, the God in reality is myself. Right? We hold these two things in the consciousness. Yeah, philosophically Krishna is God. But you know what? Actually, don't tell anyone, but it's me. Okay? In fact, if you look hard enough, you may even see multiple arms. That is the unfortunate truth. That we accept something philosophically, but we do not accept it psychologically. You don't really believe that Krishna is God. If you really believe that Krishna is God, you would not be trying to control the material energy. Do you understand the point? There's degrees of belief, just as there are degrees of faith. So what someone has accepted in the heart is not shown by what they say in class. It is shown by the lifestyle that that individual leads. Okay? So when the lifestyle is completely 100% aligned with every single syllable within the teachings of our philosophy, then you will know that you fully believe this. Up until that point, that deviation from Shastra, that is the degree to which we still believe psychologically that I am the controller. Now there's a deeper import to this. Why do I not want to let go of control? Why is it that I'm unable to relinquish control? The reason why I'm unable to relinquish control is I do not believe that this person is going to catch me when I let go. You understand? It's a lack of faith. What is... Sure, I'll say it again. So, I don't want to surrender to someone unless I have faith that they're going to catch me. Okay? I'm not going to... No one is going to surrender to someone unless they are sure that when I give up control, the person who's going to take over my life is not going to mess everything up for me. Do you understand the point? That's the reality. If I say, hey Govinda, right, there better be a sari. That's the point, okay? You understand how it works? Draupadi puts her hands up, hey Govinda. What's going to happen at that particular point? It's like a movie when the scene ends and you're left in suspense. Everyone is wondering what's going to happen in the next episode. Okay? That is why the living entity does not surrender. It is a lack of faith. And interestingly enough, all these stages from Shraddha through Prema, all these stages are built on Shraddha. You come into the movement with some faith, right? You develop some faith, Shraddha. When you develop more faith, that increase of faith is called what? It's called what? What's the next stage? Sadhu Sangha. When you have more faith than even those weird people who dress funny, I'm going to listen to them. Okay. When you have more faith, that is called Bhajana Kriya. Okay? Strange as they are, what they're saying seems to make some sense. Let me do what they're telling me. That's Bhajana Kriya. When you have more faith, you do what they tell you, but you're going to do it now consistently and with enthusiasm. And because of that, not only are the nattas going to come up, but they're going to start to get cleansed. Right? Even to the point that you start to see these nattas. My God, where was this anatta hiding? I didn't even know it was in the heart. Okay? That anatta nivritti is going to go on. And actually, because anatta nivritti is painful, because it's embarrassing and in many cases humiliating to see all the monsters that lurk inside, right? It takes faith to to keep going. Oh my God, another one. Right? You clean a bit more. Oh my God, another one. I feel like I got rid of that one. Oh my God, another anatta. To keep going on consistently takes faith. That's anatta nivritti. But as you push through, having made a significant amount of cleansing, you become steady. That's your nishta. That's your nishta. You go further faith, ruchi. More faith. That switches. Ruchi switches from the taste for the practices, for the service, to an attachment to the person you're serving. That's called a shakti. And now, if you become attached to the person you're serving, you start to get these very strong feelings for that individual. That's bhava. And when those feelings completely direct every aspect of your life at all times, that's prema bhakti. So it is a progression of faith. Krishna consciousness is actually a transcendental relationship. So there is the God of philosophy, and there's the God of reality. In reality, there's differing degrees to which we still feel that I am the supreme personality of God. I'm the controller here. Okay? I'm the controller. And that is why our lives don't work out properly. Because the person controlling that life is a fool. Okay? I hope that doesn't sound too harsh, but it's true. The person controlling that life is a fool. Fool specifically in the sense that we can't see everything. If you were to do an analysis, you would actually find that you don't even know yourself as you are in this present life. That is how blindsided the living entity is. There are so many unconscious drives. There are so many subconscious desires. Sometimes you will do something and you won't even be able to fully say or explain why you did it. That means that we are unconscious. We live a life of unconsciousness. And many of our decisions come from all kinds of misconceptions and ideas that we haven't fully explored or examined. So it is like a blind person trying to navigate a minefield. And that's bad enough. But what's worse is that there's someone standing beside you who can see everything and who actually cares for you more than you care for yourself. Now that person has extended themselves over countless billions of lifetimes. How do we know this? Because our Shastra says that whenever you fall into the material energy, whatever, lifetime after lifetime, the same Supreme Personality of Godhead who we left, out of compassion comes with us. Got it? Out of compassion comes with us and is constantly trying to convince us to come back home. Because he doesn't want to see us rotting in the material energy. It actually pains him to see us rotting in the material energy. And in many cases also, get this point also, it doesn't mean that he wants us to have a nice material situation in the material world. Because sometimes a good material situation in the material world is going to be exactly the thing that's going to cause you to get stuck here. Again, in our materially conditioned state, we will judge success by a good material situation. Have you ever had that experience? Have you ever seen that experience? It was looking quite good. It must be Krishna's being very kind to me. He loves me. I got a pay rise. My God, there is a God. Right? He is Krishna. Right? I got it just after I chanted in the morning. Great, look at that. That's absolutely amazing. Not necessarily. The point is that Krishna knows what's best for us. We know what we want. And we want a lot of things. But Krishna knows what we need. So therefore, over time, there's a progression between the God of reality, i.e. myself, and a shift in consciousness so that we actually accept the God, the philosophy, that our philosophy says is actually in control. And the shift means love. That trust means that I'm going to start to see how when I allowed Krishna to run, to run the show. Ultimately, it turned out best. Ultimately. And this ultimately is a very important word. It is not just a superficial understanding of whatever's going on in your life. That's not all it means. And to prove this, Krishna again and again and again shows the example of his pure devotees and the trials and tribulations that they go through, just so that no one thinks that just because you're chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and just because you're practicing the spiritual process, that means that success will be externally, everything is easy. It may be, it may not be. Right? This is the other misconception. Just because you're doing something difficult, it doesn't mean you're making more spiritual progress. Are you clear on that? Because there are a lot of people who do stupid things, which are difficult, and they make no spiritual progress by doing those stupid, difficult things at all. Right? It's very easy to misunderstand our philosophy. Okay, someone was taking a risk. Okay, you're taking a risk. Okay, but is the risk for Krishna? And is it the risk that Krishna wants you to take? Or are you just being stupid? I'm going to dive into the middle of the road in order to promote Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. Was that really the type of risk that Krishna wanted you to take? Yeah. You see this idea? And there is also this other thing, that whatever I do something and it's challenging. Okay. But challenging because you like a challenge, or challenging because that's the challenge that Krishna wants you to take? It is very, very easy to get things mixed up in spiritual life. Very easy. The truth is, you want to come to the point that you do what pleases Krishna. Do you understand the essence of that? It is trying to please Krishna. It's a relationship. When he wants you to offer him a rose, you offer him a rose. You don't say, oh, this was too easy, I should offer him something different. No, you just do what he likes. Got it? Try to do what pleases the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whether it's difficult or easy, it is not the point. The point is you're trying to please him. Okay? Otherwise, as is typical of the neophyte mentality, we will think whoever's doing the most difficult thing is the most advanced. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. It is whoever is pleasing Krishna the most with love, that is where all the nectar comes from. And that is where all the reciprocation comes from, which comes back to the same point. If we are able to chant offenselessly, the reciprocation of the Lord becomes greater. Now, reciprocation isn't always external. But at the minimum, the reciprocation will be that we are becoming purified. Let's be really honest, because it's important to remember. Remember what you were like when you first came to Krishna consciousness. Okay? Try and remember what you were actually like when you first came to Krishna consciousness. The mentality you had, the behavior you had, the way you tended to respond to things. Try to go back and remember, what was I like before I came to this Krishna consciousness? The bad habits that you had. And then notice how you've changed. Okay? Just think about that. Just think about the journey from where you were to where you are now. And think about how much more you're able to experience as we practice this chanting of the holy names of the Lord properly. It is one of the ways by which we will generate tremendous faith. And that is to reflect upon how Krishna has come through for us in many different situations. We were giving a program in Prabhupada's Darshan Room, I think it was a couple of weeks ago. And it was a group of newcomers, relative newcomers to Krishna consciousness. But they were all familiar with kirtan. So we asked them, how many of you in this room have felt some bliss when you were engaged in the kirtan? Everyone put their hands up. Everyone puts their hands up. Without fail. And it not just put their hands up, their hands shot up. It is a common experience. And yet on this planet, the vast majority of people don't even know that kirtan elicits such ecstasy. And therefore, they don't understand, how can you live the life that you live? And it's natural, they don't understand. Because what they're seeing is the activity, but they're not seeing what is generated by that activity. Right? They're seeing some people chanting holy names, but they're not seeing the blissful effect of that chanting. And they're thinking, I cannot live without pleasure. And that is a fact. Ananda Maya Bhyasa said, we are pleasure-seeking by nature. But what they don't understand is, what you are experiencing as so-called pleasure through your mundane activities is the other side of the pain and suffering that you also experience. They don't connect the dots. Right? You're having that steak. Okay? You're having that steak, but that same steak that you're having is the same thing that's causing you to experience so much negative reaction and will ultimately be the thing that causes you to experience tremendous pain as you get the reaction from killing other creatures. What goes around comes around. Prabhupada was in America, in one state at the time, which was the slaughterhouse capital of the USA at the time. And the weather was bitterly cold. Prabhupada told the devotees, if you can just get them to close down these slaughterhouses, immediately the weather will change. Immediately. It is a very metaphysical understanding that this killing of animals is actually the reason or part of the effect being this really bitter cold. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is a metaphor for our lives. That, ladies and gentlemen, is a metaphor for our lives. And therefore, it is also an incredible opportunity for us. The way that we chant the Maha Mantra, in a broader sense, the way that we are practicing Krishna consciousness at this moment in time, is being reflected in the very fabric of our experience of life at this moment in time. Your life is a reflection of your practice of Krishna consciousness. It is especially reflected in the mirror of the mind, the Cheto Dapana Marjanam. That means it is not just reflected in the external experiences, but most significantly, it's reflected in the mentality that you have through to the way that we interpret each and every experience. Okay? So if you want to experience a completely superior orientation in life, dig deeper into your spiritual life. It is the act that is going to change you in ways that will blow your mind. It is the act that is going to reveal to you, not just reveal to you, but reveal to you in real time, whenever you need it, that someone is shadowing you on a day-to-day basis and that person loves you intensely. Many of us, in your day-to-day life, you have various types of shadow, meaning various types of fear. It is by the way that you appreciate and practice Krishna consciousness, the way that you try to imbibe what Krishna is saying and associate with the devotees, that is going to actually bring you to a point where you are fearless, to the point that nothing scares you. Nothing scares you, nothing shakes you internally or externally. And it is through the practice of Krishna consciousness, and namely through the cultivation of the holy names, that you are going to come to a point where you will actually feel the presence of Krishna with you 24 hours a day. Don't lose sight of what's being offered. Right? This process is an ecstatic process. And it is full of wild adventures and realizations and understandings, and it is full of the process of shedding our karmas, but in a very unique way. Our karmas also manifest in the type of conditioned personality that we have. Okay? But as we practice Krishna consciousness, you will shed all types of patterns. Patterns, behavior, limitations, things, limitations of approach, limitations of understanding. and you will practically become a different person. Practically become a different person through the practice of this devotion. And how much you grow and change is completely up to you. Okay? How much you will grow and change is completely up to you. And it's completely dependent upon how much you absorb this teaching. No one can stop you absorbing the teachings of Krishna consciousness more and more. And therefore, no one can stop you constantly overcoming various anattas, refining and developing the consciousness. And as you refine and develop the consciousness, your experience of life is going to change in ways that will take your breath away. Yeah? That will take your breath away. Because right now, we can't see anything. Right? Right now, if Narada Muni came into the environment, who in this room could see him? Prabhupada could see him. But who else in the room could see him? If Krishna and Radharani were dancing on the altar, who would be having such darshan? Right? And if they wanted to communicate something with us, would we be able to hear it? This is the spiritual life that's being offered through the pure chanting of the holy names. And therefore, the point that we made earlier is that we don't know what we have. And the sign that we don't know what we have is by the way that we live our spiritual life. So Krishna consciousness is a conviction. If you pay attention, hear. Hearing doesn't mean hearing like the materialists hear. It's not that I kind of heard something being mumbled. Hearing means that it comes in here and it goes where? It goes here. When it goes here, then you've heard. Up until that point, you have not heard anything. But the real excitement, the ecstatic adventure is to constantly and constantly and constantly dive deeper into this philosophy, dive deeper into this practice, dive deeper into the association of devotees. Look for good association. And in whatever association you have, look for that which is prominent, the devotion in the devotional association. And be the best association that you can be for other people. The last point before we open up for questions is this. As much as we are endeavoring, we can't do it. As much as we are endeavoring for prema, we do not have the power to attain prema by our own strength. So our endeavor as devotees is of a very unique caliber. Our endeavor as devotees is the endeavor to cry for mercy. It is the endeavor to cry for help. So simultaneously in spiritual life, the more that you are, the more that you become qualified, the more that the devotee feels completely unqualified. Which is wonderful. You therefore have this tremendously advanced person who is constantly begging for help, constantly begging Krishna, please help me. But it doesn't stop there. It's not the begging of people who have low self-esteem and feel that they're useless alone. It is that I feel insignificant, but at the same time, I feel confident. How does this work? It is because the same person who makes you feel insignificant is the same person who's backing you up. Therefore, you feel completely bold and fearless. You understand the point? It is not one or the other. It is both and. Okay? The devotee who is practicing the spiritual life properly, they are feeling simultaneously insignificant. In fact, they continually feel smaller. And at the same time, they feel continually bold and confident and brave unlimitedly. Okay? See, if you're just feeling insignificant, you're not practicing properly. And if you feel very confident that you can do it by your own power, you're in trouble. It is both things that are going on simultaneously. Right? It is just like this. You know, you've managed to save something, okay? Over the years, you've put something in the bank, Okay, then you get invited to spend some time with Richard Branson. Okay, you're spending time with Richard Branson in his personal, you know, Mayfair mansion. Okay, while he's having a billionaire's convention. Okay, so when you were in your, you know, your rented flat in East London, you thought you've put something away. But when you start hanging out with the billionaires in Mayfair, you don't think you've got so much money now. Okay? That sense of what you save starts to become minimized. It is minimized by contrast to what you're around. You understand? So before you thought you had something, but when you see the billionaires roll up in their Rolls Royce, okay? Their custom-made Rolls Royce, kitted out with their name on the license plate, you don't really start thinking that your Skoda is anything special. Okay. So by association, you feel small. Your so-called savings, it becomes minimized. However, it doesn't end there. Because you're hanging out with all these millionaires, and Branson has just told you that don't worry, we're going to fund you. Okay? I want you to come and work for me. I'm going to fund you. I will personally pay you. And guess what? Your office is in the mansion. I've saved a room for you in the mansion. And you know what? That car that you saw in the drive, I want you to use that for the business dealings. In other words, I'm all for you. Prabhupada made this statement. He said, if you love me, I will also love you. And that you can consider is reflective of Krishna's own mood. I want to have a relationship with you. What does it take to convince you that I'm here for you and that if you follow my program, I'm not going to let you down? What does it take to convince you? Okay, I will send the Pandavas. Get this. We'll start them off with an entire kingdom. We'll get the kingdom to be taken away and they'll be exiled to the forest. Okay? But get this, they're going to be exiled to the forest for many years. And I'm going to show that because throughout this process, they had faith in me, everything worked out. Everything worked out. Do you believe in me now? Okay, let's try something else. Draupadi, she's being disrobed. She's being disrobed in the assembly. There'll be some people in the assembly who are Mahajans, namely Bhishmadev, who should speak out. He's going to say nothing. Okay, I will be the only one who's going to protect her. Now do you have faith in me? I'm going to send, okay, you didn't have faith because your thing is that that's in the past, but times are different. Okay, I'm going to send Srila Prabhupada. Let's set this up in this way. Let's make him a family man, a pharmacist, just so no one thinks it's just for the sannyasi, just for the renunciates. Okay, let's do that. Let's make sure that he was a devotee from birth. Let's then allow him to marry someone. A good dharmic relationship, but let's make the whole thing fall apart, and let's take away his business. Let's have him being cheated. Let's have him have two heart attacks when he's coming over to do what his guru has told him to do, and let's make sure that when he comes single-handedly with nothing, I won't even give him pennies. I won't even give him American currency. I'm going to send him to your country with nothing. And when he comes here, let's make sure his books get stolen and that for the first year, absolutely no one listens to him. And then I'll make sure that everything works out. Now do you have faith? That's the way Krishna works. Now do you have faith? And then I'm going to take it on the micro level. I'm prepared to reciprocate with you however much you want that reciprocation. Yaya tamam prapadyante. It's all about you. In the heart of the devotee, it's all about Krishna. In Krishna's heart, it's all about his devotees. That is the meaning of Bhakta Vatsa. He derives pleasure from serving his devotees. That is Krishna's orientation. That is his impetus. Raison d'etre. Right? His reason for being is to engage in these ecstatic loving relationships, and he wants that relationship with each and every one of us as well. Right? Intensely. And he's making arrangements for such relationship with each and every single one of his devotees to the extent that he comes to the material world, and that is the primary reason, Prabhupada explains. The secondary reason is the killing of the demons. The primary reason is the engagement of ecstatic, loving association with his devotees. This is the very purpose of existence. And now Krishna consciousness process, movement, relationship is to prepare ourselves for finer grades of loving exchange with the Lord and his pure devotees. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the ultimate and essential essence of all experience. So our life is a love affair. Right? So be joyful, but keep going on it. Keep going deeper, practicing. Rack your mind to think, how can I develop this relationship better? How can I have a deeper exchange with Krishna? And be assured that if you take one step towards him, as our founder Acharya has promised, he will take countless steps towards us. Okay. So I'm going to stop here and open up the question.